Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and good evening. Peace and blessings. Welcome everyone, to another episode of Let's Talk Love, Sex, and Nutrition. This is Vonnie, your sexual wellness coach, along with V.
Hi, I'm V, your sexual health and wellness enthusiast.
Yay.
Hey, Vonnie.
Hey, lovely. How are you feeling today?
I am so blessed today and so grateful to have another opportunity to be here with the family, to share and talk and grow and everything good. Yes. And you?
Yes, everything is good. Everything is good. You know, here on the Northeast Coast, we've been getting a lot of rain these last couple of days. And from what I hear, you know, we're getting a hurricane. I was told that, you know, we're due to some, you know, some weather here. But, you know, with that being said, the seasons are changing, the weather is changing, the days are getting shorter, Z. And, you know, and we're preparing ourselves for the fall and for the winter. And you know what, Z, what I've been doing is that even though I love the summer and the warm weather, I find myself just being present, being more present to noticing the change and the transitioning of everything that's going on, because it's reflecting what's going on in my life as well. So even though we're getting this rain and it's cold outside and, you know, the weather's going to be, I'm really enjoying myself. I've been having some really good conversations with people, and, you know, I love what we're doing with Let's Talk Love, Sex, and Nutrition, you know, and our listeners are giving us some really good feedback for the work we're doing here. So, you know, I just had to testify, you know, and you know, and just share.
So first of all, so good to hear such joy and enthusiasm in your voice, and you know, I agree with you. I, you know, although I love summer now. Don't get me wrong.
Yes, me too. I do.
There is something so beautiful about the fall. You know, I just, you know, the fall comes in, the weather starts to change just a little bit, so, you know, it's just enough. And I know we're getting this little rainy season right now, but they say it's going to go back up in the 70s later on next week, so I am looking forward to that. But I agree with you. It's a good time for reflection.
Yes,
it is. It's a good time to notice where we are in our lives. And you know, one of the things that we just started doing yesterday was gratitude. You know,
yes. Oh, yes.
State of gratitude. Rhonda Byrne, she wrote a book called The Magic, and that is the magic. Gratitude is the magic. So, it, you know, it just makes you feel good to know that you have so much to. We have so much to be grateful for. And you know, Vonnie, before we get started, I just would like to. Offer our prayers and words of comfort and support to the families of those who lost their loved ones yesterday in that school shooting. I just can't even imagine what it's like to send your child off to school and not have them return home because of something tragic such as this. So, you know, I just want to just say, you know, God bless each and every one of the family members and loved ones and those young people that were there to witness that. My heart just goes out to them, and just ask God to give them comfort during this time. So, yes, we do. We have so, so much to be grateful for. Thank you, God.
We do. We do. Mm-hmm. Yes. So
tonight, well, before we get started with our topic, Vonnie, if you want to start us off with our disclaimer.
Our disclaimer, yes. Yes. So our disclaimer is this. Let's Talk Love, Sex, and Nutrition is a rated R adult show because some of the content, some of the verbiage that we might be using might be, you know, just a little too much for the younger crowd. And so we ask that with that respect, that if you are listening to the show and there are young children, that you go to a place where, you know, where they're not around, because there's no telling, you know, again, I mean, to your own discretion, but, you know, we don't want we just want to give you that fair warning. And then also that we are not doctors, neither Z and I, we are not doctors. I am a certified holistic health coach and sexual wellness coach. And so some of the things that we'll be saying this evening or throughout, you know, the episodes that we'll be having are through our experience and our research. And and anything else, see? Did I miss anything else that we...
I think that's it. You know, we do share this information based on a lot of our own research that we have done on our own, and like you said, and or our own personal experience. And because we're having an open discussion tonight, we're opening up the lines. We're inviting the family to join in, to share their experience, strengths, and hopes with us. So also it'll be other people's experiences that they'll be sharing, their thoughts or their feelings. So we just want to make everybody aware of that. So So, you know, one of the things that came up this week, Vonnie, was I got some feedback about last week's show. The feedback was you got to continue this conversation because an hour last week just wasn't enough. I'm grateful that our listeners are listening and that they're offering their suggestions. So thank you, caller, for saying that and for saying that we need to continue this conversation. We were talking about if this womb could talk. And as I was listening to Jill Scott, you know, and what's so interesting about the fact that you played that song is that, you know, our wombs do have so many different types of conversations.
Last week we were
talking a lot about some of the traumas that our wombs have experienced, some, you know, sexual abuse and trauma and incest and so forth, and we've had those experiences. And then we also have the opposite side of that, which you shared in your beautiful poetry. You know, you talked about the pain and the pleasure.
The pain and the pleasure, yes.
Absolutely. So we have different conversations. So some of us will have the conversation about how absolutely wonderful and amazing experiences that we've had, our womb experiences have had, and then some of us have had some not so good experiences, and some of us have had both.
And I just also want to remind the callers, if you would like to, if you'd like to comment and join the conversation, you would press 1, I believe. Is that correct, Z? 1, and that will, that will let us know.
That you want to join in on the conversation.
So you mentioned the piece, Z, that I had wrote and I had shared with the listeners last week. And I mean, last week, you're right, like this is a conversation that we can have. We can do this in multiple shows, if our womb could talk. And that piece was an expression of that. If, like, not just my womb, but the wombs of my grandmothers and my great-great-grandmothers. And the more that I learn about my history, you know, and my lineage, you know, the more things that are happening to me now make sense, because in a sense I talk about that energy and how, you know, through the generations, how that can be passed on through, because the womb, I see the creation, you know, that's what we're doing, what we're birthing, and when we're birthing beings and we've undergone trauma, we're in a sense we're, you know, transferring some of that energy to our seed that we're birthing. So, and that memory as well. And so, you know, with that being said, things that, you know, that we are dealing with now and as a manifestation could be as a result of things that happened generations ago.
Absolutely. And, you know, and I know that piece was real personal to you.
Yeah, it was.
I want to know if you would feel okay with was sharing, you know, like the real depths of what writing that piece. Mm-hmm. Where did it come from? How did it begin for you? And, you know, what was your experience
It was a very emotional experience for me, as you can, you know, as you can see. It was a lot of emotion in that piece. And what it took was me just, I came up with the piece through meditation, actually, where I was able to just through breathing exercises initially just channel this energy and, like visions just, and I don't want it to seem, you know, like awkward, but this is, you know, this is how it came to be. And it was very clear to me while I was in that meditation. And then in addition to that, having conversations with my mother of things that had happened to her when she was pregnant with me. And it was just like, wow, you know, this is, you know, for me to be able to channel certain things and then be able to have these conversations to validate these things, you know, it was coming from that. And then with my own personal experiences with relationships with men and my relationship with my father and feeling resentment, and you know, and so you had that in there. And then, of course, the pleasure of being intimate with someone, you know, recognizing that and your reasons for seeking this type of intimacy, or why are you attracting this certain person in your life. So it's like all those things, I've noticed a lot, and I'm kind of going here and there, but like all those things came into play when writing that piece. And there's actually more to it as well. Because writing to me is also a healing therapy. So I find it's very healing for me as well. And then also to the people that I've read it to, it's been very receptive.
Well, you know, it was powerful. Mm-hmm. And, you know, without mm-hmm. having it in front of me, I could just, you know, remember certain parts of it. And I could feel the energy.
Yeah.
I could feel the pain. I could feel what you were sharing. And, you know, it's interesting that you would talk about the generational thing because, you know, mm-hmm. as I have had conversations with my mother, so this, you know, what came up for me, when I was coming up, you know, as a kid, I was very promiscuous. And, mm-hmm. I didn't have any rhyme or reason for it. But, you know, as time had gone on, and I started learning some things about, you know, sometimes even promiscuity and why young people become promiscuous, and you know why sex is so important, you know, at such a young age, you know, 10, 13, 11, 12, 13, you know, what is all the sexual stuff that's all about, you know?
And so
I started having these flashbacks. You know, I started getting these visions, and I couldn't figure out what in the world these visions were. And I think I was probably, my God, I think I was maybe about in my early 30s, probably.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was having a conversation with my mom one day, and I asked her, like, you know, did anything ever happen to me when I was, you know, a kid? Did I ever have any, you know, sexual abuse or anything like that, you know? And her eyes got huge, and she was like, how could you remember that? You were only four.
Right. Oh, wow.
First of all, I wasn't even expecting her to say yes, because there was just no really recollection about an experience. And so I was like, Mom, but what happened? So anyway, bottom mm-hmm. line was I had been, you know, sexually molested by a family member. And, you know, when I heard that and when I heard, you know, who the person was, wow, it just brought up a lot of different things for me, but it also kind of clarified some things for me about, you know, well, why, maybe that's why, you know, mm-hmm. I had
Right.
You know, been promiscuous as a young person, and you know, even to tying it into why I accepted abuse, why
right.
I somehow in my little consciousness at the age
mm-hmm.
of four, I received that, you know, having these being abused was okay, or that
right.
it was, you know that it was the right thing or something, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you know, you never know what happens, you know, in a child's consciousness. You know, they, you know, you blame yourself or you think you did something wrong.
Right.
I mean, that wasn't. Right. I don't think I remember thinking that I had done anything wrong, but what I did do, I do remember thinking that I had now caused this family to break up because, you know, when they found out, you know, that my family member had done this, it caused his family to break up, which meant
right.
that, you know, I felt like I had caused this. So it's just
mm-hmm.
so much that goes along with that. And, you know, then eventually, you know, you find out that other members of your family have had it. You know, when you start opening up that door, it's like that Pandora's box. You know,
right,
when you start
right.
finding out, well, not only did this happen to me, but it happened to Mom, it happened to Grandma,
mm-hmm.
you know, down and down and
mm-hmm.
down and down and down. And, you know, then it started explaining why we had depression in the family. So
mm-hmm.
I started realizing, Ronnie, that, wow, this was so prevalent. This
yeah, and
so
it runs deep, yes.
Absolutely. In my own personal family and in my next-door neighbor's family and in my girlfriend's family and, you know. And
in the community.
Yes, in our community.
Mm-hmm,
you can
mm-hmm, in our community.
Today. You know, and honestly, and we were just talking about this not too long ago, and it were five of us in a car, and five out of five women in that car had a sexual
right.
trauma experience.
And
so
and we've had this conversation where, you know, when we find it more, when we open up, where that space is open, where we're amongst people where we can have that conversation, more times than not, one of the women in this conversation has experienced some type of sexual trauma more times than not. And even when we talked about it in class, you know, when we shared, you know, so this is something, this is affecting, you know, us as a community as well as on an individual basis. And we're and what we're doing is that we're brushing it under, you know, we turn the blind eye. We're not having conversation. We're not having healthy conversation about how to heal from this.
Well, you know, because there's so much still shame around it. And, you know, here we are in the 21st
yeah.
century, and we still have this going on. You know, back in the day, nobody talked about it, you know. Nobody told you that Uncle Joe was the one that, you know, a grandpa
mm-hmm.
or daddy or brother or whomever, you know, and it was just not talked about. And
right.
so we have women today, you know, still carrying that. And then if a child told their mom that this had happened and mommy says, I don't believe you, or you know, called her a name, or you're making this up, and took the side of the son or the father or the grandfather or whatever, then what in the world is that young woman, that little girl, first of all, supposed to think? What is
mm-hmm.
she supposed to feel? Oh, my God, I've let this thing out. I'm expecting to be protected. I'm expecting something to happen, and all I'm getting is, it's your fault, or don't you say
right.
a word, or why would you lie, or, you know. And I've had
mm-hmm.
people say that to me. I'm like, oh, my God, I can't even imagine what that's
right.
like, you know, for a child to come out and bare her soul and then, you know, have it just brushed away like it's nothing. It has no meaning.
Right.
So there comes unworthiness. There comes, you know, I'm not, nobody cares anything about me. There comes all of that, all those feelings. And we carry that on and on and on into our relationships. And then we
right.
work. You know,
mm-hmm.
we vibrate that unworthiness, and we vibrate, you know, nobody cares. And so then we
right.
attract that. And
we
know,
attract
and
that.
Absolutely.
And then we
so,
end this. Right, right, right.
So
and then,
just,
you know.
Go ahead, babe.
Oh, no, I was just saying, and then, you know, and then the things that were the ideas that were birthing in the world, because they're based off of the environment that's created by the stress, you know, by us not, you know, feeling, taking value in ourselves and those things. And the cycle just, it keeps on going and going. So, you know, Z, I think that, you know, what we're doing and what other sisters are doing in the community with having these conversations and creating spaces where we can have an open dialogue is very important for this healing process. Because, like I said, you know, a healing must take place in order for us to transcend and prevail, you know, past these issues and traumas.
And because if you don't talk about it, we don't get it out. I mean, like you were talking about your writing. Your writing was mm-hmm. a healing thing for you. And, you know, mm-hmm. I'm thankful that you had that, you know, but a lot of people don't. They don't
right.
take that. They don't, you know, use writing. You know, guess what they do? They go to drugs. Mm-hmm. I did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, drugs
yeah.
became my best friend because guess what? I wanted to stuff those feelings. Whatever they were, I wanted them
mm-hmm.
to go away. And so I
right.
found my healing and my peace and my comfort in a drug that made me feel good, you know, or I found it even in a relationship with, you know, that was sexual and that was bringing me pleasure, so I didn't want to feel anything, you know, something to just numb you
mm-hmm.
out, and, you know, I want to talk about it, you know, instead talking about it, being able to have a safe place to talk about it, so.
Yes, yeah.
And I really would, you know, I honor parents today who are being more aware to have these conversations with their young people, to really be aware of the changes that are going on in their child's life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you start seeing some changes going on, and you know, maybe your child is starting to withdraw, or you know, maybe they are, you know, acting out in a different way. You know, really start having conversations, and you know, don't take nothing. You know, don't take that. Or, okay, you know, sometimes you have to go a little bit deeper because, you know, oftentimes people are threatened. I'll give you a perfect example. Gianna
mm-hmm.
Van Zandt did a show last week. I don't know if you saw it, but she's working with two ministers who are gay ministers. And one of them came out. I'm believing he's like well in his 30s, maybe close to 40. And he just came out and shared with his family that he had been sexually molested at the age of 8 when he was in a camp. And but he had been threatened that if you say anything, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to kill your family. And so a lot of times the perpetrators are threatening these children and telling them, you know, I'm going to do something bad to you, or I'm going to do something bad to your family, and so they won't say anything. And they have to know that you, mommy, you, daddy, you, uncle, you, auntie, you, cousin, you, somebody, you, teacher, you know, you, neighbor, is someone that I can go to and I can share this, and it's okay. I'm not going to be hurt. Don't listen to that. Because that's not going to happen. That's just the way people want to control you. So, you know, really want people to get aware that we have to, you know, make sure that our young people understand that if anything, anybody touches you. I remember last week the young lady called in and she said she told her son, this is your penis and
mm-hmm.
nobody gets to touch your penis but you. And if anybody touches you in any way, you tell me. And, you know, so she let him know right away, you know, this is not acceptable for anybody else to touch you, and you can come to me and let me know. So those are the kind of things that I really want us to really be aware of.
Yes, I agree. So, Z, I know we're at the top of the hour, so I'm going to go ahead and we're going to play our commercial, and then after commercial, we're going to get right back into our conversation here. If this womb could talk, our open discussion tonight on Let's Talk Love, Sex, and Nutrition with Vonnie, your sexual wellness coach, and Z.
And V, your love, sex, and health enthusiast.
All right.
We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
Join us here on the Family Healing Circle, where we heal your mind, body, and soul. Every Sunday, we start your week off right with the delightful Daletta Gillespie and Updraft. It is always an educational and informational show. Tune in on Mondays for Totally Whole with Pastor Bridget and Pastor Cook as they give you the word. Tune in on Tuesday with world-famous DJ Davey D as he plays all of your old-school favorites in R&B, hip-hop, jazz, house, and rap. Join us every Thursday where there's something different. The first Thursday of the month, ladies, is for you. Total Empowerment with the owner of Simple Wellness Hair and Day Spa, Angela Hardy. On the second Thursday of the month, join relationship coaches Reverend Arlene Cahet and Reverend Harvey L. Bailey on One Love, One Connection, One Us as they answer all of your relationship questions. On the third Thursday of the month, men, it's time to man up with our own Sacred Masculine, Reverend Jamel Gilliam and the Sacred Masculine Show. On the fourth Thursday of the month, join me, Reverend Harvey L. Bailey, in the Inner Consciousness as I talk about self-help. When we have a fifth Thursday of the month, you can join Reverend Arlene Cahet with the Healing Paradigms right here on the Family Healing Circle, where we heal your mind, body, and soul every week.
All right, we are back. This is Vonnie and Z with Let's Talk Love, Sex, and Nutrition. Tonight with our open discussion, If This Wound Could Talk, where we're having a discussion about sexual trauma and triumph. I know that both Z and I have shared our story of sexual trauma and then the triumph. We are here today, you know, empowered with the things that, you know, that we've been through and been able to prevail, and we're here telling our story and healing and providing a healing for listeners and support for, you know, people that that may have been abused or experienced on the sexual trauma. So, Z, are you here, Z?
I am. Yeah, and I'm so glad you brought up the whole aspect of triumph, because I think that that's important. One of the things that we know in our community, in our spiritual community, is that when these things come up, they come up to be healed. And I know for myself, and I know for you, you know, uncovering the fact that these things happen, but not staying there, not allowing the experience to overtake our lives. I mean, it overtook my life for many years. And I talked earlier about, you know, I took drugs and alcohol on as a way of numbing myself. But later on, you know, I'm so grateful that the spiritual community that I became involved in opened up many, many doors for me. So I was able to do many things to support my healing journey. One of them was talking about it. One of them was sharing the experience. You know, you talked about writing. And for me, and this is, I love telling this, I love sharing this, because, you know, when you ask God to help you, and, you know, it actually becomes something, you never know how it's going to come up. And I remember, you know, knowing I had to forgive, you know, my perpetrator. And I wanted to do that. I wanted to say, you know, I'm going to hold on to any grudges. You know, when I see him at family gatherings, I don't want to have these feelings, you know. And so one day I was taking I was taking a Bible class, and I had not seen this family member in years. Well, who would be in the Bible class but him? And when I saw him, all of these things came up in me, but I knew, I mean, I had done the work. I had done my work and everything. And so at the break, we got a break in the class, I went up to him and I took him, I stood in front of him and I looked into his eyes and I said, I forgive you. And, tears were in my eyes, and I could even see the tears welling up in his eyes. And he looked at me and he said, God forgave me a long time ago. And I hugged him. And I knew right then and there that he had made his peace with God. And I had made my peace. And now he was in front of me where I could actually say this to him and tell him I love you. And when I spoke those words, I love you, and I hugged him, I was free. And he
was
free,
Yes. And forgiveness, the power of forgiveness, because that is for you. So you're not holding that in your being. You're not holding that energetic pull and drain. And wow, see, that's an amazing testimony.
Yes, and that's why I said you just never know how it's going to come to you. You never know what's going to happen, how Spirit is going to bring that healing to you. But, thank God. And now, I can see him, and I haven't seen him in many years, but I know that I was set free that day, and he was too. And I think that's so important. You know, when we want to grow, if we want to get past all of that stuff, we have to forgive.
We have
to let go for ourselves. You know, people say that, forgiveness is for the other person. No, it's for me.
It's for you.
You know, I wanted to be free. Thank God for him. He had already done his healing work, and so... I know a lot of times people will ask, well, how could I ever be in the same room with this person? How could I ever look them in the eye? Well, the thing is that, I truly believe, and this is just me, in order for a person to do something harm, such as this for a child, they had to have their own hurt and their own pain going.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I would want for them and what I wanted for him was, whatever had caused him to do this thing, whatever had caused him to even, disregard another person, another child, that he would get his own healing. Because I can't imagine what it's like to have that, inside yourself. So that's how we heal our community.
Yes, that's so powerful, Z.
Amen.
Because, that... Hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about these instances as a result of how they happen to us, and we talk about our story, but to be able to put ourselves into their story and how or what may have happened to them in order for them, like you said, to carry that in them to where they actually executed violating someone.
Mm-hmm.
So,
absolutely. They have quite a few, it's a lot of it goes back to the sexual abuse that they experienced. We don't, a lot of times, Bonnie, we don't talk about the men, and I know tonight's conversation is about if this womb could talk. But, the womb is not just the female womb. It's the male as well. And we don't talk a lot about, that we have men who have gone through sexual trauma. And, it talks about, children, males who have been sexually molested oftentimes turn out to be very promiscuous, and also they can turn out to, perpetrate others, because
right.
they don't know anything else. You know, they're dealing with their own hurt and pain. So,
Yeah, and with doing the research for this show and looking at the statistics, it was just, when they put the numbers out there, it's 1 out of 5 girls and 1 out of 20 boys have been victims of sexual abuse.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about that?
And then it also says that a child who is the victim of prolonged sexual abuse usually develops low self-esteem,
mm-hmm.
a feeling of worthlessness, an abnormal or distorted view of sex. So if you have been abused, then you can have this distorted view of sex. You may, you're having sex with. You're thinking it's okay to do it with a child or, whatever it is, then, that comes from your own trauma experience. So,
mm-hmm.
Oftentimes we want to blame them, but where did it come from? It had to come from somewhere,
Right.
So we have to have, compassion. Not saying, I want people to understand, because I know sometimes people say, that means that you're giving permission. No. Doesn't mean that you're giving permission or that you're even condoning the act, but you're understanding that there's a root cause to it.
Mm-hmm.
We're understanding that there's a root cause. This monster didn't just grow up, Something happened. So, we want to be able to also hopefully get some help for that person.
Yeah.
And, Bonnie, the thing is that when we talk about these statistics and, the things that that children go through, but the children end up being adults. And so, then we get to relationships. And so oftentimes here you are in a relationship, and if you're a woman, you may be having issues about having a wonderful, sexual, pleasurable relationship with your husband.
Mm-hmm.
And you're wondering, why in the world does him touching me bother me? Why in the world if he tries to have oral sex with me, freeze up? I don't like you doing that. Don't go there. Well, maybe because, something happened to you. Maybe somebody performed oral sex on you when you were a child, and that made you, you carry that all the way through,
mm-hmm.
and now that's repulsive to you. So, a lot of times we are having relationships that
mm-hmm.
we can't even have a normal, wonderful, intimate experience with because we have those things that we have not yet healed.
You are exactly right, because in certain things, I know with me it would be certain things would trigger images from
mm-hmm.
my childhood that would take me back, and that would just totally just throw me off to where, depending upon what the situation was, it would totally just throw me off, and it would be like a smell or it just would be a random trigger that will happen, and an image will come in my head, and you realize, wow, this is really affecting me as an adult. It's real.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that mm-hmm. image for me, Bonnie, was I kept getting flashbacks of a tongue. It was just this huge, huge tongue. And, of course, when you're a child, it looked like it probably was like a huge tongue,
Right.
And, it doesn't seem like, that would be a scary thing. But, again, I don't know. When you're 4 years old, and somebody's, doing something like that, that's not a usual thing. And it can make
mm-hmm.
you feel really, really uncomfortable. So,
yeah.
So we have to be really, really aware ask ourselves questions if we're finding that, you know, we're in a relationship and we're uncomfortable, or, you know, sometimes it could be if you've been violated and, you know, just the look of a penis could be repulsive to you. You don't even look at that thing. Or, you know what I'm saying? Or, you know, maybe you're not even able to look at your own vagina, you know, because of the shame of it all, you know. So, I would just encourage you, if you're having any of those problems, any of those challenges, please, 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 there is a reason for that. And there's help, and there's healing, and there's healing in so many ways. You know, we're so blessed, Bonnie, because we have, you know, support groups. We have places like the House of Ruth that, you know, not only deals with domestic violence, but they also deal with sexual trauma issues. And so there's lots and lots of support groups out there.
Because it's the same. When you heal a woman, you heal a nation, right? So.
Absolutely. That's the truth. That's the truth. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, as we're healing, you know, we're preparing the way for the next generation to come.
Exactly. Exactly, Ashe. So I know we're coming up on. Oh, I just wanted to because we're coming up on, you know, the hour, and I just wanted to remind our listeners tonight that this is an open discussion, so you are welcome to chime in with Z and I this evening, and you can do that by pressing the number 1 dial on your keypad, and you are able to join in. So it doesn't look this time, Z, it doesn't look like we have anyone to bring in.
You know, one of the things that I'm really hoping that one day we'll get some brothers to come on and talk about this. Why, we have someone?
Yep, we do. We have Erica 301, last word, 9942. Hello, caller. Welcome to Let's Talk Love, Sex, and Nutrition.
Greetings, peace, and blessings to my sisters this evening. How are you all?
Oh, we are well, sis.
Wonderful. I am thoroughly enjoying the discussion tonight. And what I love the most about what you all have been saying is two things. The forgiveness of yourself and the forgiveness of the person who may have committed, you know, the act against you. And also the healing, right? Because a lot of times we talk about these experiences from a place of being a victim. And so I'm just enjoying being in the conversation of talking about it from a place of I've healed myself from it, right? It no longer defines me, and I understand, you know, why I may have been promiscuous, you know, growing up. I also had an experience where my grandmother used to take me to the hairdresser and leave me, you know, she entrusted the hairdresser to watch after me for the couple of hours that I would be there. It would be like every Saturday. And so the hairdresser had a 16-year-old son who, you know, maybe when I think about it now, maybe he did not, maybe no one talked to him about his sexuality and, you know, about his body. And so, you know, he would put me on top of his penis and rub and, you know, touch my vagina and do all kind of little stuff. And for a long, long time, I subconsciously viewed myself as this dirty little girl and how I wasn't worthy of anyone really loving me because, you know, when I experienced it, I would have little orgasms. So I would think back on it like, oh my God, I must have liked it because mm-hmm. had an orgasm, or it felt good when he rubbed on my vagina. What is the vagina supposed to feel? Your vagina's supposed to feel good. Somebody's rubbing on it. Of course, not, you know, 16-year-olds should not be rubbing on a 6-year-old, but, you know, your wires sometimes get crossed, and so you grow up or you go through the rest of your life numb in that area because you associate having an orgasm or a clitoral orgasm with the experience that you had,
right.
you know, in that time. And so I guess my question to you all would be, or to you specifically, Ronnie, because I know that you deal in healing, and of course, V, you deal with healing. But what are some of the things that a woman or anybody for that matter could do to, like, re-stimulate? I'll tell you what my issue is.
Okay.
And maybe it's not an issue, but to me it feels like an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes my orgasms seem to be delayed. So
okay.
I will have sexual relationships with my little boo, and like it'll feel good, you know, and that, you know, he's in Miami. But afterwards, like, I won't have thoroughly an orgasm in that moment. But, I'll be thinking about him, and literally
okay.
it'll seem like something just comes alive in my yoni. I don't know how to – I don't even know if I'm making sense. Does it make sense at all what I'm saying to you? Like, do you understand?
So what you're saying is a delayed response. You're responding, but it's – just not happening
in the moment, correct?
In the moment. But the key thing is that it's still happening, right?
Yes.
Okay. So when it's not happening in the moment, is it an awkward situation? Because the thing is that it's still happening, correct?
Yeah, I just, mm-hmm. you know, you, of course, growing up, you read you also read the novels, and you know, in the novel he exploded and she floated, and so we
so that's what I'm getting at is that we can't compare, not, you know, not everybody orgasms the same way, but the point is that you are orgasming, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So yes. So you did mention some numbing though. So you were So that when I was thinking about that, does it feel like it's a nerve damage type of numbing, or if you could explain to me, is it like a tingling?
It's more of a blockage.
So were you on the call the other week when we had Grace, when we were doing the yoni breathing?
Yes, I remember.
Okay, all right. So what we want to do is that we want to get things circulating. We want to get energy. We want to get oxygen. We want to get nutrients. We want to get all these things circulating in that area. And so when we're breathing, like, you know, normally when we're breathing, obviously, you know, we're on this phone call today and we're on this side of dirt because as a result of us breathing, right? But mm-hmm. when we're doing a focused breathing, when we're really honing into our yoni area, we're getting all those things going to that area. So it's just like that's what we're concentrating on. So with the yoni breathing, it allows us to do that. So with the tightening of the PC muscles and the tightening of the yoni canal, what we're doing is we're pumping. We're literally, you know, creating a pump, and we're pumping energy and oxygen and nutrients into that area. So that's an exercise that I would suggest you doing with getting, you know, with help with removing that blockages. Now, there are other things that you can do, and that's something that I can give you my information, and we can, you know, we can have a one-on-one consultation where we can go into some more depth. So, but right now, you know, those are some things that I would suggest you do, is doing the yoni breathing and the visualization of focusing on that area.
Okay, wonderful. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'll
and this is actually something that you and your partner can do together. So while gazing into his eyes, you know, and before you engage into that act of intimacy, you know, that can be something that you can implement into your bed play, or the gazing in the eyes and then doing the breathing with each other, and see how he reacts to it, because he's going to get some benefits too. And we'll have another show about that where we can talk about the breathing exercises for the men to help with their strength and vitality and stamina. But yeah, so we'll talk. Okay. I'll give you my information, and we can, we can continue that conversation.
Wonderful. I would enjoy that. Also, one last question.
Mm-hmm.
When you mentioned the PC muscle, is that different from? Okay, because like when I squeeze my yoni, right? I feel like I'm squeezing at the bottom or at the opening, and then it feels like I can also squeeze, like, kind of sort of in the middle. But then it feels like a muscle at the
top,
like maybe where your uterus might be. That's what it feels like.
Mm-hmm. So what you can do is you can create a wave, like, with those contractions. So starting from the bottom, middle, and top.
Okay.
And then top, and then start from the top, middle, and bottom. And then, you know, it'll take some practice with doing, but what you're doing is you're eventually creating like a wave-like situation with those contractions. And then do you have a yoni egg?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. So that makes it all the better. So you pop that yoni egg in there.
I got a few.
You're going to be feeling some things. Look, you're going to be feeling some things. So, I promise you that.
Okay.
So that can get you started. That'll get you started. Mm-hmm. So implementing our breath with those contractions, we'll get things moving and circulating.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Thank you for the help.
Oh, yeah.
I'm enjoying
no
the conversation tonight. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, awesome. And then just reach out to me. You can
oh, we're friends
inbox
on Facebook.
Me.
We're friends on Facebook.
Yeah.
I will.
Love, Sex,
okay.
and Nutrition. Love, Sex, and Nutrition.
Okay.
You can send me a direct message, and
I
will be in contact with you.
Will do. Thank you. Thank you both for tonight.
Thank
you. Oh, you're welcome.
Much. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for sharing. And, boy, I tell you one thing, this conversation really helped me. Because so I have a question. I have two questions. So, first of all, her particular situation with not being able to experience the orgasm at the time, could that be related to what happened to her, you know, when she was coming up as a child? Could that be related to that? And, and the other thing I wanted to comment on is that, you know, our bodies are physiological. So even if we're having an experience, you know, I mean, just recently I was watching something where a girl had been raped, but she still had an orgasm, and she couldn't understand how she felt. She was a horrible, horrible, horrible person because she was having pleasure while these guys were molesting her. So we have to understand that our bodies are physiological, and they will, and with stimulation,
they will
the
respond.
Clitoris is going to experience orgasm. That's going to happen. You know, if you're a guy and you know your penis gets stimulated, you're going to have an orgasm. It doesn't mean that you're wrong. It doesn't mean that you are something's wrong with you. That's just the way the body works. So,
right.
You know, and a lot of times we can carry that shame along with us on the journey. So, so my question is, you know, could that have been related to her experience?
And it very well, you know, could have been. So, all those things come into play because we carry that muscle memory in us. And so that's why I was like, you know, we could have that conversation because that is something that we will work on and talk about in more extent. Definitely come into play, Z. I know just sharing, you know, with my personal life, how I mentioned that, you know, how I would just get an image and it would shut me down. And it would just come out of, sometimes it would just come out of nowhere, or it would come out of somewhere, but I just couldn't really, you know, just connect the dots until it just started becoming more random. Because what happens is that we suppress those memories, and we think we're good because we're living life, and, you know, and we're not in a crazy house or anything like that. You know, we're functioning adults, working and doing things, you know, adults supposed to be doing. But that's not to say that when, you know, in intimacy and in relationships, that we're not dealing with things that we never really dealt with or got a handle on in our past.
Hmm. Yeah. Ooh, so, that's definitely a part of the healing journey. And,
it is
to be able to talk about it. To, you know, maybe even, you know, I know hypnosis sometimes is a really good way of of going through that experience and getting through it. So then, on the other end of the spectrum, when she was talking about the PC muscles, so.
Okay.
What I find when I'm doing my, I'm having a challenge with breathing and holding the contraction at the same time.
Right.
I just don't seem to be able to get in sync with it. And I know, you know, so, and I don't think I've ever felt it. I felt like the beginning and the middle, but the top part is something that, I don't think I've ever felt that. But do you have any suggestions for me, as I'm doing my yoni breathing and you know, holding in the contraction and then letting it out and then holding it in and letting it out, but I'm just not seeming to get it to hold.
So, okay, so the last caller, she mentioned that she had an egg. Do you have an egg yet?
Not yet.
Okay, well, I mean, you can do it, you know. Okay, so do you have... So I'm going to ask you, so do you have some type of toy that you can insert?
Yes, I do have that.
Okay, all right. So you can work with that. So and what you would do is that you would, you know, you would insert it and then use your muscles to squeeze it out. So depending upon if you want to feel the sensation at the top, where you know, where the cervix is up top, then you would insert it, you know, up there, and then just use your muscles to make those contractions to squeeze it out, or you can start in the middle by inserting it halfway through, and then, you know, work. And so do it like that, and you can actually connect with the sensation and feel the sensation and feel the grip, and then again just work on squeezing toy out.
Okay, so as I'm squeezing, my breath is what I'm not getting in alignment. My breath and my squeezing is not getting into alignment. I just feel like I'm not doing it right.
Okay.
I'm breathing in.
So you're breathing in.
Yeah.
So when you're inserting in, you're clenching.
Right.
And so
okay.
And then so you're inhaling, and you're holding that breath.
Okay.
And then you can work with when you pull it out. You exhale, and you can just and get a rhythm with your breathing. And you said you have a problem with the holding.
It seems like my breath is not in sync because, like, I don't hold. My holding doesn't last very long, and I probably just need to practice more. You know,
and it's a fun practice because you want to. It's a rhythm. You know, it's getting a rhythm. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
It's getting a rhythm, and you're controlling that rhythm. So if you can't, you know, if you can't hold it that long at a time, then you know, don't hold it, but just work on that, and gradually you'll see how you'll be able to hold your breath and clench that and hold that contraction longer as well.
Okay. Absolutely. And that's so good. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad you mentioned the toy, because, like, you know, I don't have my egg yet, but I'm working on it.
And actually, you know, and the dildo will actually work better with that, because with you getting a rhythm, you know, and...
Okay.
And, yeah, so that will actually work better. So by the time you have your egg, you will already be, if you practice, though, I don't know, because this is going to take some practice. because it's, you know, it's going to take you getting used to that rhythm and that sensitivity. But, you know, I expect if you practice, you know, Z, that you'll get it. And then by the time you get the egg, you will already know, you know, be in sync with, you know, the breathing, and you can do the contraction and the yoni breathing with the egg inserted.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I know that the yoni breathing is so good, you know, and I do practice it, you know, when I'm, you know, at night and, you know, I'm just trying to relax, and it really does help to relax, you know, my whole body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm finding that, you know, I was using other things to relax myself, but now I can just do my breathing. And
yes.
It just puts on a whole different vibration to my body.
Awesome.
Ooh. So it's really, really important. And, you know, we want to let the family know that we did post Beautiful Grace up on the page to let the family know about the yoni breathing. I believe it's on Love, Sex, and Nutrition that they can
go there and
see a video of her and how she explains about how to do the yoni breathing. So we get to have a teacher that shares show us how to do it.
Oh yes. It looks like we have another. I thought we had another listener. No.
All right, come on. What you got to say? add to the conversation tonight. This has been great.
No, it doesn't look like we have any other callers that were chiming in this evening.
Okay, well, you know, I'm so grateful for our beautiful caller who, you know, comes in and shares herself and opens up the dialogue. And, you know, one of the things that I wanted to say was that, you know, again, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, us as women, and, you know, we have such fantastic, you know, God just made us so amazing. I don't know what else to say.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we get to have things like yoni eggs and, you know, do yoni breathing. And we have all these wonderful, you know, ways of supporting ourselves. And, you know, for our brothers, you know, I really would love to be able to have our men be open and willing to share. Because the other thing, you know, we were talking about relationships and how sometimes, you know, a woman can be in a relationship and she may be having a hard time. You know, having an intimate, you know, relationship. And the same thing happens to men, you know. And so I was reading an article on Oprah.com, and it was about a woman who, you know, she was married. They had been married for many, many years. But she noticed that it was hard for her husband to, you know, he wasn't having sex with her. And she was taking it personally, like, you know, something's wrong with me. you know, well, why doesn't he find me attractive? You know, why doesn't he want to be with me? And all this. And the bottom line was he had started going through some, you know, thoughts in his mind and feelings about himself because he was remembering sexual trauma. He was remembering that he had been sexually molested. And so he was having a hard time relating to his wife. And so, you know, eventually they had to go for counseling and so forth. But, you know, I just wanted to offer to, you know, sisters, you know, if you, you know, are finding that, you know, maybe your beloved is withdrawing in some way or maybe is not able to have the kind of sexual relationship that you want, you know, there may be time to have a conversation with them and to find out if there's anything that happened. So anyway, that can be another conversation at another time, but I just wanted to put that out there to be aware. Definitely be aware. I understand we have another caller.
Yes, we do. Caller, I'm about to bring you in. Area code 410, last 42131. Welcome, caller. Welcome to Let's Talk Love, Sex, and Nutrition. Hello.
Did you say 21231?
Yes. Hello. Welcome.
How you doing this evening, both of you?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this is Deborah.
Hi, Deborah.
Yeah, it's such an important conversation, and there's so many layers to it, and I think you all are addressing many of them. And as I'm here in my kitchen, so you may hear a little something I'm cooking, and I was listening, and you know, I wanted to offer something that it may be kind of difficult for some people to embrace, and that's okay. There are a couple of things that come to mind as I'm listening to you about sexual trauma. One is that I think there's so much shame around it, because the person who's been violated is taking on ownership or some blame, like I did something wrong. I must have done something wrong, and this is happening to me. And I'm wrong for feeling it and for it feeling good. I went to law school with a friend, a woman, and she had this relationship with her uncle. He wasn't her biological uncle, but she treated him. They were like uncle and niece. And one day, I don't know all the details, but they ended up having sex, and she felt betrayed. He was an older person. He had authority, and he took advantage of that. That's what I heard. And it just so affected her. And one of the things I think that happened was she ended up marrying someone that was like a brother to her. So there was, you know, the sexual, like she just did not enjoy sex. She did not enjoy sex, and so she married someone so that she wouldn't have to have sex. Well, I'm not saying that he didn't have sex, but she didn't enjoy it. And then some of the other stuff that was going on, she was raised Catholic, so I won't get into that. But so I think I want to offer women particularly and men as well who've been violated that for you, I don't think it's just your body feeling good, but we're complex. We're not simple. We're complex. There's a possibility that you could actually enjoy rape, and I know this is sad, that's why I say maybe shocking to some people, that you could actually enjoy rape because we're complex. And I don't mean enjoy that somebody is taking advantage of you, but, you know, when I know in my own relationship that there's all kinds of sex, So we have all kinds of gentle, kind, you know, whatever, gentle and loving sex. And then there are times when it's just wild and rough, right? So how? So if somebody's raped you and you get some pleasure out of it, I just want people to let themselves off the hook. That's what I'm saying. Don't be so hard on yourself. Have compassion for that mm-hmm. person. Have compassion for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Have compassion for yourself. No matter mm-hmm. what you experienced, what you felt, have compassion for that person. The other thing I like to add is that because I was raped at gunpoint, I was 16, coming home from work, and I was raped at gunpoint. Now, I'll tell you, I never felt that I had done anything wrong. So I didn't carry any shame or guilt about it, none at all. I was coming home from work, so I, you know, this man accosted me and kept following me. I'm walking home, 4 o'clock in the morning from McDonald's working, and he puts a gun to my head and makes me go behind a building. Mm-hmm. And so because of the nature of that, I didn't carry any shame or guilt, you know? But when you have trust between you and your father, your stepfather, or a neighbor, and they violate that and they tell you things and you feel good and all of that sort of thing, then I think that's another, there's another something that happens that didn't happen to me. There was no trust violated. I didn't trust this man. So I just want people to let themselves off the hook. And lastly, I want to say, when we get in relationship with people, one of the things I will hope, because this is where I am today, and I see it as so important, that we find a way to communicate with our beloved what we're dealing with. I remember a brother telling me that his wife, they were struggling because she had been sexually violated, and he struggled with her. I love him for that. He struggled with her, and mm-hmm. she was getting therapy, but she shared it with him, so he could be in the struggle with her. You
That's
see?
Beautiful.
And so if we don't mm-hmm. share with our beloved what happened to us, and sometimes, you know, I'm not saying, you know, that's the first thing you do, but find a way to share that. And if someone can't be with you in that, then maybe that's something you need to look at while, you know, you're with this person and they can't try to at least work with you. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, because however it's showing up,
mm-hmm.
however it's showing up in your relationship, that you don't enjoy sex, or you do, but certain touch. And I love what you said, Vonnie, when you said the smell. I never thought of that. But I can see how just a smell could set you off. A familiar smell that's associated with something that you think or that person thinks shouldn't have happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're sensitive, and that's why I said we're complex. So find your words. Share with someone, if it's your significant other, find a way to share with them what happened, so that they can be in it with you and be tender, hopefully be tender with you, because men have the capacity to be that, right? And get therapy,
mm-hmm.
get help, but don't try to do it all by yourself. That's what I say. Don't try to do it all by yourself. So thank you for these
right.
conversations. I appreciate
you. Thank you.
Thank you,
Deborah.
Thank you very much, Deborah. We appreciate you. Oh, my gosh. Ooh. Ooh, I have to breathe on that one.
Mm-hmm. And you know, the divorce, she said something. Well, she said a lot of things that really resonated with me. But the guilt that we feel in the pleasure of it, mm-hmm. like we did something wrong because of how our bodies responded,
mm-hmm.
and that causes us to shut down.
Or to
you know,
think that there's something, there must be something wrong with me if, you mm-hmm. know, I'm having this experience like I was sharing earlier about the girl who had been was being raped by three guys, and yet she was still having an orgasm. And,
right.
You know, so, you know, like Deborah said, you know, get take yourself off the hook. You know, give yourself a break because, you know, it's a natural process. It's a natural reaction, you know.
Right.
To the
and just to hear someone say that, because, you know, we all have our stories, but the for someone to thank you again, Deborah, because, you know, we get in our own heads, in our own world, and we think that our individual experience was, like, it was just us. Like, we're the only person that's going through that. And we don't know that unless we do share our experience. And so, you know, that's what we talk about it being healing, because it's like, whew. You know, you're letting a load off because you've been holding it in for so long. But when you hear that other people have, you know, have undergone, you know, trauma, and again, they triumph, you know, and you hear how they talk about their story, and it's a story of strength. It's a story of power. And wow.
Yes. And one thing that came up, and I don't know if Deborah is still on the line, I know. She said that she didn't take on, you know, when she had been raped, she didn't take that on
right.
like she had done anything wrong, because obviously she didn't. She's walking home, and, you know, this man took advantage of her. But I wanted to ask Deborah, and if you're still on the line, Dee, please come back and share this. Did you have to do any healing work around that? I know you said you didn't take that on, but was there anything that you did to help yourself work through that, or if you know, or if you didn't, you know, if you could maybe offer some things that people can do that if they've had that same experience, because, you know, sometimes it is just a woman walking down the street at night and all of a sudden a man rapes her. I mean, I know that happened here not too long ago, so we can't take on like we did something wrong. So was there any healing work that you had to do? Was my question.
Well, it was definitely traumatic in the sense that someone was making me do something that I didn't consent to, and I went in shock when I saw the gun. He's a very tall man, and, you know, just so, you know, he put this gun in my face, and I just, you know, I separated from my body, really. I'm pretty sure it was just like, I had Amma Shonda on my show last night, and she talked about, she shared in her blog how you just kind of go, you know, leave your body. You kind of go someplace else. And it's happening to your body. It ain't happening to all of you. And actually, that was my saving grace, because as I write about in my first book, I didn't feel touched by that. Like, on another level, I didn't feel touched by that. I didn't feel he had touched my essential self. He had violated my body, but he didn't touch that part of me that's untouchable, that cannot be damaged, that cannot be affected. He did not touch that. And that's what, you know, and I tell you, that was grace. That was grace. Mm-hmm. That was God's grace. It's not something that I, like, okay, I willed myself into thinking that. It was just God's grace that said, you did nothing wrong, and you will not, you don't have to take this on as you did something wrong. I think for me, the healing had to happen when I ended up pregnant. And my, you know, and I shared this at another time, and I tried to hide it because I didn't tell anybody about it. When I was raped, I went home, took my clothes off, washed my body down, got into bed. Didn't tell anyone because I was having, you know, my household was challenged. So I didn't think anybody cared, so why tell? But then I ended up pregnant, and, you know, so much you can hide, right? And so I did share, you know, and I had, to this day, my sister is, my sister is 9 years older than me. She was the one who helped me do the healing through that when my mother said she didn't believe I was raped. Because I didn't tell her. I don't know what it was, really. I think she just didn't know how to cope. My mother is a very stoic woman, so she didn't have that emotional stuff
Like if my daughter tell me something like that, I'm looking for my machete. I'm looking for a gun. I'm ready. You know, I'm believing her. I'm not going to question her, right? But my
right.
mother just didn't have that wherewithal to do that, and so I let her off the hook too. But my sister was there for me to help me through that pregnancy, and I had just started having sex, so I didn't know whose baby it was, the rapist or the, you know what I'm saying? And so I just didn't know, and so that was the hard part. Now I got to deal with, do I have this baby or not? And I didn't, because I was not sure of whose baby it was. And so I just didn't take that on. I think that's huge. I just think that, you know, if we could just not, you know, we beat ourselves up for so much. We act like we're supposed to be superheroes. That superwoman stuff is not, not cool. Not cool, right? It really,
right.
It's not cool.
Yeah.
It's not cool. I mean, I used to like that Alicia Keys, that song, I'm Superwoman. But I'm burying my Superwoman cape. You know, I'm done with it, because we're human. And so I said, if no matter how you were sexually violated, I don't care how it happened, love yourself without conditions. Let yourself off the hook. I don't care how you felt. I don't care how good it felt. That was something that that happened to your body, not your essential self. So I just say, pray and ask for forgiveness for holding yourself hostage. Forgiveness for holding yourself hostage for something that happened to you, and then begin to share. I think it's so powerful to share your story. That, you know, when Amish Chandra shared her story in a blog, I wrote on her blog, I said, you know, it makes me want to tell more people that I was raped. Why? Because we don't need to be silent. Because in silence, there's shame.
Right.
And we have nothing, nothing to be ashamed of. If somebody, some grown-ass man, started fondling you, and you 3, 4, 5, 10, 11, or 12, or even 20, somebody that you had trust, like my friend had, you had trusted this was your uncle, and then he seduced you, because there is such a thing as an unfair advantage in age, wisdom, all authority, and all of that. I just say, love yourself, that's all, and get help. Talk to somebody who you know won't judge you for, you know, like you've been judging you.
Right.
And that's what I had in my sister. You know, you want to tell somebody who's going to, like, well, you know, even look at you disapprovingly or be silent when you need them to say it's okay. So you really pick that person. But I say speak about it. Don't let it fester in the dark. Because you didn't do anything wrong. And I don't care how old you are. I don't care. None of that matters. None of that matters.
Yeah.
So I love you all.
Yeah.
Keep doing good work.
We love you, Devar. Thank
so
you.
Much, you know, that's a beautiful word, and we thank you so much. A perfect way for us to end the call tonight. Words of encouragement, words of how to get the help and the healing, and to love yourself. Woo!
Yes, okay. Words of power. That was,
absolutely,
wow.
Because there is no blame in you. God bless. Thank you, Deborah.
Mm-hmm.
You're wonderful.
Thank you.
All the callers that called in tonight. We appreciate you all so much for your contribution to Let's Talk Love, Sex, and Nutrition. And believe me, if you have anybody out there, family, who is going through this experience, you know, have them listen to the call or sit there and talk with them. And, you know, that's what we're all here for, to help and support and to love one another. So, Vonnie, I love you so much. Thank you.
And
for
I love you so much, Z. Yes, thank you for a wonderful episode this evening. And, again, I want to personally thank all of our callers and listeners for this evening. And, you know, this is our second time doing this show, but we're going to be doing this more often because it's important for us to have these conversations. This is not just a one or two or even a three type of show topic. This is something that's going to be ongoing, so you can expect that in future shows. So, Z, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up, and I'm going to end it tonight with Estelle Conqueror. I think that that is a song that is, you know, that is appropriate for the type of show we have this evening.
Absolutely. Thank you, because we are all conquerors. Thank you, guys.
Yes.
God bless. See you all next week, 7:30. Houston, Sanders.
Life is like a